This is the audio that accompanies the Brush Grocery Cart versus Surefine Markets case. And this is this case about equitable conversion and what happens if a property gets damaged between the time that we've contracted to buy the property, but we actually haven't delivered the deed yet. So let's go through the facts of Brush Grocery, but we'll also talk about the general kind of way in which a transfer of property sale works. So here in Brush Grocery versus Surefine, on the first slide, some pictures from Brush Grocery Cart celebrating its 20th anniversary there in Colorado. Brush is renting, actually, property from Surefine Markets. It's a five-year lease, so a term of years. But it actually has a contract purchase option. That is, within the last 6 months of the lease, Brush has the option to purchase the property, right? So this is an option to purchase. And if they elect to purchase, elect to exercise this, the contract has, or the lease basically has, the idea that I'm gonna buy it equal to whatever the average appraisal of a number of the two experts that Brush and Surefine hire. And so what happens is we're at the end of the contract, or getting near the end of the contract, and Brush says, you know what, I want to exercise my option to buy. Brush gets its appraiser, Surefine gets its appraiser, they can't agree on a price. And so we're still in the middle, essentially, of negotiating the purchase, really saying what the price is that the purchase will go under. The lease terminates. And Brush says, okay, I'm vacating the premises. Here are your keys, getting everything out of it. And says, you know what? You don't have a tenant there anymore, so you really don't need to have any insurance on the property, right? So Surefine decides not to have any insurance on the property. And they enter into an arbitration or litigation to figure out, well, what's the purchase price going to be? Well, in the middle of doing all of this, something happens to the property. It gets damaged significantly in a hailstorm. And the question then becomes, okay, who has to pay for the damage, particularly because neither party was covering any, carrying insurance in this case. Brush wasn't, because Brush wasn't in the property. They had vacated. And Surefine wasn't covering any insurance because they thought Brush was buying it. And so the question becomes is, who is liable the damage when we have this property that's in this time period between sales contract, and so here we'd say that's the exercise of the option, but we haven't delivered the deed yet, which happens at a later date. And so we kind of analog this to the typical, let's say, residential home purchase. I go, I find a home I'd like to purchase. I enter into a sales contract with the current owner. I'll buy it for $800,000, $200,000, whatever, $35,000, like in the Englehart case. I end up not getting the deed that day, right? Why not? Well, it's going to take some time for the current seller to get out of the property. And it might take some time as me as a buyer to secure financing. I get a mortgage and I need to work with a bank on that. I might also would like to learn about some other aspects of the property before finalizing the transfer. I might have some conditional clauses. I'll buy it as long as it doesn't have termites, or I'll buy it as long as it passes a home inspection or something like that. And so we can have properties that are in these kind of intermediate phases, right, between sales contract, but we haven't delivered the deed yet. And damage can happen during that time period. And the question becomes is, okay, well, what happens if there's damage? So if we go to the second slide, we're going to find out that there are three approaches that jurisdictions take. The old common law way, which is currently the slim majority, is that we have this doctrine of equitable conversion. What does equitable conversion mean? Equitable conversion means that if I've got a sales contract, the property has equitably converted from the seller to the buyer. So although the buyer is not in physical possession yet, doesn't have delivery of the deed yet, They are the equitable owner of the property. And that means they're taking the sole risk for some damage to the property during that intermediate period before delivery of the deed, right? So if it turns out that we're in an equitable conversion jurisdiction, once we have that sales contract, let's assume that property gets destroyed by a hailstorm or a tornado, that risk is solely on the buyer, not the seller. Then there are some jurisdictions that go almost the exact opposite way. It's still a bright line rule. They call it the Massachusetts rule. And here the idea is the risk is solely on the seller. So during that intermediate time period between sales contract and transfer of the deed, we end up having the seller being on the hook if something happens to the property, right? So if the tornado hits it, the seller's the one that's on the hook for all the damages to the property. And then finally, we've got these kind of middle of the road states. And here the idea is we're going to put the burden on the person who has the right to possess the property. So in some ways, if you've got the upside of getting to possess the property, then you should also have the downside if something happens to the property during that time period. And this is catching on in a lot of jurisdictions. And it turns out Colorado, the jurisdiction that Brush versus Surefine is in, has adopted this rule. And so that means we're going to say, okay, who has the right of possession for the property in that given scenario when the damage is done? So the question becomes is, what is the result in this case? Well, here the hailstorm occurred after the lease term had expired, right? And the lease was expired and Brush had left the property. And so who had the right of possession? Surefine had the right of possession. And actually, technically, they always had the right of possession. They might have leased the property, but they always had the right of possession, so they would have always been on the hook for the property if something had happened to it, like a tornado, et cetera, in this current scenario. And so that means that here, Surefine is the one that's on the hook, not Brush, for the hail damage that takes place. And so if we're going down that second slide, how would this change under either of the theories above? If we would have been in an equitable conversion theory, then Brush would have been on the hook because we would have had the exercise of the option and we're just waiting for delivery to take place. If we would have been in a Massachusetts rule jurisdiction, then Surefine would have been on the hook for it, right? And so that's the way this kind of works out. Does this change if the damage is due to the seller's negligence or even, let's say, the buyer's negligence? Yes, it does change. These rules don't change the basic rule of kind of tort law. If it turns out that the damage is not a force majeure, right, but it actually is because the seller accidentally left the oven on, right, or the buyer does something when they're trying to inspect the property, they would be on the hook for the damages. These rules only apply when we're dealing with a scenario where it wasn't either property's owner, either person's fault, the seller or the buyer. How does this actually work out in practice? The way this traditionally works out in practice is through the insurance market, right? As long as we know what the rule is in a given jurisdiction, that party who's bearing the risk takes on insurance to hedge against the risk, right? So if we're in an equitable conversion jurisdiction, the idea being is then the buyer would take out insurance, right? Or the buyer would require the seller to take out insurance on behalf of the buyer for this intermediate period of time. We can put that in the sales contract. If we're in a Massachusetts rule jurisdiction, the seller needs to take out insurance, right? Or if they want to push that onto the buyer, they need to have the buyer pay for the seller's insurance, let's say something like that, right? And then if we're in a right of possession jurisdiction, the idea here is that we have a clear identification of who's in possession or has possessory rights of the property, and that's the person who takes out insurance, right? And maybe pushes the other party to pay for that insurance in that given scenario, right? So while these rules are in place to identify who actually takes on the risk, in the end, a lot of times the insurance market solves this problem. And I think that's why maybe even in the slim majority of jurisdictions, we still have this concept of equitable conversion, right? But we solve this via insurance right? Or some clear contractual remedy that pushes the burden onto the other party. So that's Brush versus Surefine. Equitable conversion, default rule, risk is on the buyer once we have a sales contract. Massachusetts rule flips this completely. And then we've got these middle of the road states that say, look, if you're going to get the upside of right of possession, then you get the downside of potentially having the property damaged in some way. And so that's who's going to take on the risk in those particular cases. And that finishes out the land transaction section of the course.